Welcome to Callaway Golf Podcast. Well, I'm just going to get right into it. Normally, we talk to you about all kinds of Callaway stuff, but we're just going to talk right to our guest, Phil Mickelson. What's going on? Thanks for joining me today.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, and it's nice to have a week or two to get ready for the Masters.
Yeah, so let's get right into that. What do you look to get out of the week before a major? Are you looking for whether it's stuff off the tee or just sharpness around the greens or just general excellent play?
So I'm really looking for the ability to execute certain shots and then to identify under pressure the areas of my game I need to work on. I'm looking to develop touch, chipping touch, you know, getting short game sharp. And obviously, you want to putt well, but the greens are going to be different. So they just, it's just getting a good feel with the putter, I would say. But I think driving the ball and being able to move the ball right to left, like holes 10 and 13 require, I think 14 requires that. Shaping the drive the way you're going to have the following week and making sure that you're doing that with ease. And if not, identifying it and working on it and having a few days to do so.
All right, Phil, I'd be remiss as this is the Callaway Golf Podcast not ask you about your clubs. 47 and a half inch driver. Can you tell me why that's in the bag?
Well, at Augusta, most of you carry the bunkers and open up the fairways a little bit. So it's number one. To carry the bunker on the right, to carry the bunker on two, to carry the bunker on eight, to get it over the hill on say 14 or 17. You really want to fly the ball 350 to 320 minimum. And that seems like a lot, and it is a lot. It's just that you can fly there, you have a chance to take advantage of some of those holes. For example, number one, if you can carry that bunker, it's a sand wedge in, and you're thinking birdie. If you have to hit a 3-wood off the tee and go to the side, or you can't carry it and you have to play more to the left and you're hitting a 6 or 7 iron into the green, you're thinking par. And so there's the ability to attack a number of holes if you can fly the ball a little bit farther. The fairway on 11 opens up. See, there's something about 11 if the whole dog goes to the right, the fairway angles to the left. So the farther you can carry the ball, you can hug the right side a little bit more and take the left trees out of play. And so that big carry is a huge thing. So I ended up putting a 47 and a half inch driver in my bag, and I hit it. I can fly it roughly that number, the number that I'm looking for, but then it leaves an opening and I have to have the ability to close it. So I went back to a stronger 3-wood, which is the 3-wood head that I used in the British Open in 2013. Very hot. That head caught 3 deep, and I put a shaft that I've been using in my other clubs that tends to eliminate some of the flip at impact and eliminate some of the hook for me. So that KBS shaft has done that, and so it's less likely to snap hook or to have that little kick and bottom. So I now have a club that I can hit maybe 285, 290 in the air, and it's just a strong 3-wood.
And then we saw some Apex MBs join your bag recently. What do you like about those irons, and how have they performed for you so far?
Well, I've enjoyed them a lot. Now, I'm not going to use them at Augusta, and there's a very simple reason for it. At Augusta, the grain of the grass is they started mowing from the green back to the tee, and so you're always into the grain for your approach shot into Augusta. And the ball tends to sit down a little bit lower, and so you're always catching it like a groove low and the ball's then launching a little low and spinning a little more, and it's hard to get the ball up. So I'm using the Epic forged irons that I've always had, or I've had the 4 and 5 iron in my bag for some time. I've used the 6 and 7 iron for some time, but I'm also going to use the short irons, the 8, 9 and wedge and the Epic forged. And it's funny because it's kind of a higher handicap club because the ball takes off the face so fast and spins a little less, but I have such a high spin rate already that I'm looking to reduce some of that spin. And this gives me a chance to come into the shots, into the greens at Augusta, much higher and softer. Now, normally when we play courses, you have to flight it differently. So at AT&T, at Pebble, you know, we'll bring in it really low, trying to not get the ball to back up. And when it's windy, you're trying to flight it low and you're trying to shape it into the wind and so forth. But there's really not much wind at Augusta, and there are really no holes where I am taking something off of my iron shot into the green. I'm trying to hit every iron shot at Augusta all the way from 1 through 18 as high and as soft as I can and eliminate the ball running because the greens are so fast
when they're releasing, the ball just tends to not stop. Those Epic Forge irons allow me to hit it full, hit the ball way up in the air, come in a lot softer into those greens, and also makes it much easier for me to get the ball up out of those tight into the grain lies that we often see at Augusta.
And Phil, what do you think the difference is going to be at Augusta National in November compared to when we're used to seeing it early springtime in April?
So the weather forecast has looked to be pretty similar, with highs of 72 to 74, not much wind. And if that's the case, it should play very similar to the way it does in April. But historically, when I've played in November, it's a little colder and it's a little more wet in the fairways. So the course is playing much longer. You're not getting the run. And it is a concern that if it rains, when your ball is landing into the grain the way it is on every fairway, it's going to dig into the ground much more than if it were landing down grain where the ball would skid. And that allows mud to get on your ball, and that could be a big factor if there is any type of rain or dampness that week. But the forecast looks to be okay so far.
Yeah, we saw earlier this week, or I guess last week by the time this airs, that Augusta National put out their press release. They're going to not have the par 3 competition. They're going to have College Game Day there on Saturday. That's kind of interesting. And then also they're going to use split tees because of there's a significantly less daylight this time of year than there is. Do any of those things matter in your world getting ready for the Masters, or not really?
Well, it's not going to affect the preparation, say. It will be weird to be teeing off number 10 as your first hole of the day. That's going to be very awkward. For a number of years, almost two decades, Jeff, the winner of the Masters came from the final group. And sure, the final group is leading and you have an advantage because you're ahead of a few strokes. But what would really happen there is about 6 o'clock at night when the wind dies and you're going through Amen Corner, without any wind, you can be much more aggressive and not have as big a fear of the wind swirling and pulling the ball in the water on 12 and 13 and 15 and so forth. And so you have much better playing conditions the later you tee off in April. But because it's going to be dark by 5 o'clock, and I think we're set for a 3 o'clock finish, that may not be the case because the leaders are going to be going through the back nine with swirling winds just like the rest of the field. And I think that you might see the winner come from the group that is three or four groups ahead of the final pairing this year.
Well, that would be interesting. That would because you're right. I mean, for so many years, it just seemed like it was always in that last group. So let me switch gears a little bit on the Champions Tour. Two for two out there. What do you most enjoy about playing some of the events on the Champions Tour?
There's two things that I really enjoyed more than I thought I would. One is seeing the guys that I grew up watching on TV and playing with for all those years, and I haven't seen for quite a while. Tom Lehman was my first partner in the 1994 President's Cup. Corey Pavin was my first partner in the 95 Ryder Cup. I saw those guys out on these tournaments, and it's fun to rekindle the relationships that I have formed over the years on tour, but I haven't seen these guys for almost a decade in many cases. That was really fun, and the way they were welcoming and appreciative was very inviting, and I really enjoyed the way they made me feel. And the second thing, Jeff, is the golf courses are so much more fun to play because you can play it aggressively and still recover. By that, I mean the pin placements on tour are often 2.5-3 paces from the edge. That's like 8-9 feet from the edge of the green. That means you can only miss it on one side of the pin, whereas here there were 5 paces from the edge of the green. And so you have a little more room if you do short side yourself to be able to get up and down. And it's more like playing a round with your friends at your local home course. It's a challenging home course, but still very playable. There was rough, but it wasn't overly penalizing. The tees, we played the back tees on every hole. I mean, there were no up tees that we played, but it was just a little bit more forgiving in the setup to where you could play the way I like to play, which is much more attacking.
My favorite part of it was, I can't remember what hole it was, but it was early in your first event up in the Ozarks, and you hit a ball off the tee, and it looked like you were looking for your brother to hand him the club, and he was like in the cart or something, and it just seemed like, and he said something funny that Mike's kind of picked up. He's like, I got to get used to this. What was it like out there with, you know, in that particular event with the cart and with Tim kind of riding around?
Well, that was an unusual week, apparently, because it's not the normal rule where you can, that we had that week, which was somebody had to walk, somebody had to ride. And so we were always deciding if I was going to walk that hole or ride that hole. We couldn't quite figure that out. I couldn't figure it out. But I really enjoyed that because if I was tired, I'd hop in the cart and ride up to the tee shot and map out my next approach and have that little extra time. And if I wanted to stay kind of in a good rhythm, I would end up walking. And I thought that was a nice mixture. The rule on tour now is that the player can ride, the caddy has to walk and carry the bag. And so I don't see myself doing that as much, unless I'm just tired one day for some reason, but I would rather walk myself. And I'd rather have, I liked it when Tim was up front getting the yardage. He had it ready by the time I got there. He knew what the wind was doing, what the club selection was. And so I was able to play much faster because we had all that information by the time I got to the golf ball.
Well, I think the obviously transitioning a little bit from the Masters, I think the biggest challenge you face over the next month, month and a half, Phil, is you are partnering with Charles Barkley in the third match to take on Stephen Curry and Peyton Manning at your golf course in Tucson, Stone Canyon. I went there about 2 weeks ago for kind of our first little look at the golf course. Incredible, incredible scene. We've actually done some content with you there that's on CallawayGolf.com that we shot there. Beautiful place. What is it going to be like having Charles Barkley as a partner?
Awesome. So I am really excited because when I first had a chance to spend time with Charles, it was back in the 90s when he was on the Phoenix Suns, and he was able to play golf pretty effectively. He would shoot in the 70s almost every round, did not have a hitch in his swing, and was a pretty good golfer. And at some point, I you know, obviously he struggled and he's developed a little bit of a hitch. But when we play together, it's going to be a modified alternate shot, which means I'm going to have to play some of his shots and he'll have a chance to play from some of mine. But we'll have good interaction between us. I think it's going to be somewhat educational because I'll have to kind of explain some things to him because we won't have caddies. I'll be kind of his mini caddy, if you will, and guide him through on how we can play this effectively. But I think we're going to end up beating Steph and Peyton, even though I know they're very good golfers. I think that we're going to come out on top on this one.
Do you have kind of a different outlook on Peyton? Because Peyton played so well in match two, but he doesn't have Tiger Woods there this time to kind of, you know, guide him around the golf course. Nothing to take away from Stephen Curry's golfing ability, but you would think that would be something you'd probably remind Peyton once or twice during the round.
Yes. I mean, certainly, you know, he has downgraded his partner in going from Tiger Woods to Steph Curry, as good as Steph is. I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest of all time. And I'm going from Tom Brady to Charles, which I consider more of a lateral move. And as much as Tom is not going to appreciate that because he is a good golfer, but he didn't have really time to prepare and get ready for our match. And wasn't, although the back nine he played extremely well, so I could go easy. But Charles and I are going to have some good fun. We won't play probably as well as Tom Brady and I did the back nine in our last match, but we're going to shoot a pretty good number that's going to be tough to beat.
And I think it was funny because the preparation for the last match, I remember driving up to the clubhouse. I look out in the parking lot and Tom Brady's running like wind sprints back and forth to cones like an hour before the match. And you're like, that's probably not what Charles is going to be doing an hour before the match. I don't picture him in the parking lot there doing some sprinting and stuff. Tell people something about the golf course. I was blown away, Phil, when we went and looked at it. There are just so many tee boxes where you almost don't want to hit a shot because you just want to sit there and look at the beautiful views. But the way that the golf course is framed by the Stone Canyon, hence the name, and the fun factor of two drivable par fours we're going to play, of par threes, one of which is only 131 yards with a beautiful waterfall. Tell people why this golf course is going to be just stunning for them to see.
Well, it's been rated number three in Arizona for a number of years, and it's because of the great mixture of holes from short par threes to long par threes to uphill, downhill, and holes that are running through the canyons of this, of the beautiful Sonoran Desert there. It's just spectacular. So not only are the holes great golf and fun challenge and playable, the views are second to none, where every tee box, as you look down over the valley, you just can't believe how spectacular it is. So the people there are very welcoming, and they're very proud to host this event. And I think I'm very proud to have us play there and also have a little bit of a home course advantage, which I think is going to be necessary to Charles and I to come out on top. But I think it's going to be the little extra boost that we need.
Yeah, and I think I'm excited mostly because of the strategy opportunities, right? And this is something that we got into a little bit last time, but I think it's going to be interesting. Like if you hit a bomb off the tee, and then Charles, I don't know what club you're going to ask him to do, because you were pretty influential at what club Tom used off the tee quite a bit last time. You know, you may tell Charles to hit a 7-iron off the tee or something, or because his tee's, you know, potentially going to be a little further up than yours, or you may want Charles to play your drive and hit a short second. It just, the strategy is endless of all the different options you guys can have.
Well, Charles is going to be playing off of the Charles tees. So I don't want to call them the ladies' tees, but they're going to be the Charles tees. They're going to be slightly ahead of everybody else, and that's going to open it up to some possibilities where he might not have to hit driver every hole, that he could hit an iron that gets us in play and allows me to hit the approach shot. And I think he's a decent putter. Like, I think Charles can putt okay. He's got a good touch. He's always stroked the ball well in basketball, and that type of touch in his hands comes through on the putter. And putting has never really given him problems. It's just some of the fuller swings. And even that is of late, in my opinion, the last 15 years or so, because he used to be able to swing the golf club pretty efficiently.
Yeah, he said last time that putting is his strength. Putting is the strength of his game. And I don't know if that's because the rest of it is so weak or it actually is a strength. Do you have any plans to kind of get together with Charles before the match and go over your strategy and kind of help guide him through this?
So we are talking about that. I'm not doing much until after the Masters, and we'll try to spend a day or two after the Masters to work on a couple of things, maybe play the course together. But we don't have anything firmed up yet, but we're working on it.
All right. Well, Phil, thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us. Best of luck in Houston this week, and then obviously in Augusta the week after. And I can't wait to see you down in Tucson for the match. We're getting closer to it, and it's getting more exciting as there's a lot of surprises that are going to be announced before this match happens that I think the viewers are going to love this time to kind of try to take it even to another level. So thank you for the time today.
My pleasure. I'll see you down there. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to Callaway Golf Podcast. That was Phil Mickelson. Make sure you download and subscribe to each of these podcasts, along with checking the other podcasts on our network, the Girls in Golf Podcast with Lex and Sarah, the Fitting Room with Nate and Garrett Pond and Dave Neville on there sometimes. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a good day.